What is going on, my people? Welcome to another episode of On the Brain. And today I got my buddy, my homie, my colleague in podcasting, fellow host. Tell him what you're all about, my dude.
You already know it's DJ Steady. Are you ready? The late night Teddy on the ones and twos in this podcast episode, representing for Who They Want podcast. Y'all already know. Go check it out. Everything Entertainment Expo. We in the building.
Yep. You've been really getting your credit over here. You've been on a few episodes so far. We reviewed stuff, we've talked about stuff, and of course you and I, we work together. We work together doing Who They Want podcasts and everything. So let everybody know where you can find that.
Absolutely. You know, if you're a social media influencer, you can catch us on Facebook at Who They Want Entertainment LLC, Cross Everything Entertainment Expo. And you know, I am on Instagram, DJ Steady. Are you ready? Of Who They Want podcast. You can catch the podcast on anchor.fm/Who They Want podcast. And you know, I'm rocking on the block at Everything Entertainment Expo. I'm global everywhere. Just Google search, Siri search, whatever your search engine is, just type in that Who They Want podcast, and we will definitely be locked in. You dig? Your favorite podcast.
Excellent. All right. So this has been a while in the wait. Last time we chopped it up, we were talking about the now phenomenon that is the Bel Air show.
Pew, 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 pew,
the
pew.
Reboot of Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Basically, it's like if Fresh Prince had the same kind of tone as, say, something like Riverdale. That's basically where this show is at. So we reviewed and talked about episodes 1 through 3, and now we're just gonna go through the rest. The show is at this point, season one is done. It's in the books, it's in the can. We're getting ready for season two, but we're going to give our thoughts on the rest of season one, and letting y'all know, since some time has gone by, this will be a full-fledged spoiler conversation.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go. At this point, after episode 3, we still have the Will and Carlton drama. We still have the drama between Aunt Viv and
Hillary.
And Hillary. But I remember saying that they didn't give 3 episodes and they didn't give Ashley anything to do.
Right.
Oh, no, I should have just waited. Because now we're getting into Ashley's part in all this. She's a young activist. She's the one that since she's the youngest, I feel like they're not really paying it. You know, they're paying that much attention to her, and she's going through the angst of being a preteen in this modern world, right?
Right.
And we find out that she got a little crush, right? Yeah. When we find out who it is, I can't say I was like all that surprised, because it's today. If this was like 20 years ago, it'd be a shock. Like, what? You know? But
you're right. Times have definitely changed.
Times have definitely changed, you know, and not to say that times have definitely changed for the better, but then there are instances where I'm like, yo, we're definitely going backwards. But
right
in this episode, there's been a few things that we find out. We find out that she has a crush, and we find out that that our boy Jazz already knows the family. Right.
Right.
So I was a little surprised by that, but Jazz is a bit more like, not to say the original Jazz wasn't wholesome in his own right, but this guy was a bit more like, he's a bit more of a people person. you know,
down to earth. He definitely down to got earth. That.
Very down to earth guy, runs a record shop, trying to keep it, you know, trying to keep it going.
And he's a mediator. Like his role, like he got, if there was an award for like best supporting role in this type of film, in this show, I think he would get it just because of the role he plays. He's there for everybody in the family, not just Will. Like when you meet him, he was Will's apparent Uber driver to Bel Air, you know, from LAX. And then as the show goes in to see, like, you see more of him than just getting tossed out the door. If we're talking 90s sitcom era Jazz.
Yeah.
Like talking Bel Air Jazz, he's my favorite character.
Like Jazz ain't all of, he's not about drama. He is not about drama. Just like you said, he's the mediator. He's the voice of reason. And, you know, in some cases, and him and Hillary end up having a little chemistry.
Did they not?
Like some, they did before, but it would have been like, if they tried to get together, it'd be like a fling, like just a straight up fling, you know?
Yeah, it'd be an embarrassing fling because of her stature, you know? But and seeing this era of get together is like, this is long overdue. Like about time you finally, it's like meeting your childhood crush. And then instead of getting rejected, it's like, I like you too.
Yeah, that's it. It's a very, you know, I'd say it's kind of refreshing, you know, because if this Jazz started acting like, you know, old, you know, like the original Jazz, and you liked him because he was basically the funny, you know, the funny DJ that get thrown out of the house. Now he's a businessman. You find out about his you find out about a little bit about his family, like his family legacy is that store. So he's trying to keep, you know, that going. Right. He's not about social media, which, you know what? I got to applaud him for. Honestly, I got to applaud him for. I know we use social media for a lot, not
everything,
not just
our everyday lives now.
Yeah. Our everyday lives. Like if you have a business, you know, you're on social media to promote it, you know?
And he's from Compton.
Yeah. And people, and he's, you know, and he's so humble. He's giving people like credit on records. Like, bro, I need a sample, man. I need something to, you know, I need something to, you know, to make this banger. He's like, okay, listen, I'm gonna give you this. I'm gonna put it on your tab. Go and make some hits.
He's a dope.
But Hillary got that, you know, got that juice online. So she's like, look, let's do a store tour, let's do a vlog, and just, you know, and just, you know, and just chill out for a while.
But you gotta give him credit because he helped her tap into it more. Like,
oh yeah,
he always had it, but I think his tenacity, I would say, like, really kind of helped her realize. He was basically telling her, like, look, you keep looking for these rich, powerful people to boost your ego, like, you're a bank, like, that alone should be just your rep, like.
Yeah. It's also showing how much we rely on, you know, on social media and clicks and how things have really changed. Cause Hillary's on the verge of, you know, she's on the verge of moving out at this point. And while her dad is, you know, doing his politics and thing, and a lot came out within the next few, you know, within the next few episodes. You got I don't think anything tops at this point just the camp, you know, just the campaigning, because just like we discussed about last time, where they're basically calling out Uncle Phil for not being a man of the people. Like he's forgetting where, you know, like he's forgetting where he comes from. They're constantly on his back for that. And he has to, some choices had been made, you know?
He turned up on him. I don't care what you say. After that Yamacraw episode and saw his frat history, I think you saw the dynamics of him change and get back to his roots.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I think that episode was necessary because it bring it, you know, because it also kind of brings him closer to his, you know, to his family, you know, like,
right.
Cause Will helped, you know, helped in that sense. Like, here he comes with his energy. And it's like, no, look, don't doubt Yamacraw. Okay. Don't doubt Yamacraw. He is for the people. He is for the community. He didn't forget where he came from. Yeah. He's got more money in his pockets, but you know, he's still that same guy.
Definitely let it be known that he's still that same guy. And he's a family man, as he's been retelling since the first episode.
Yeah.
He's a family man. Like, he's that shadow. Like, you think daddy's not there, but he sees and knows everything that's going on in his household. Even though Carlton may felt like a little distance gap.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely some tension between those two, because he hadn't really seen what his son was up to,
right?
You know? And then here comes Will, and now you got to deal with all of that, and also, this whole thing about the campaign. Some things unfortunately get left behind, and one of those things is Carlton. And Carlton, I got to give Carlton props, because I know we called him the villain at first.
At first.
I honestly thought he was going to be a problem through the rest of this show.
No, I think he's like one of us. Like, he's that misunderstood one. Like,
oh, word.
Angry because he's forever fighting. He's trying to fight being black. He's trying to fight being rich. He's trying to fight his anxiety. Like, and then he's in this prep school where, you know, he's not the it guy, but then he gets into lacrosse and all these different activities and becomes the it guy at a predominantly white academy. And then you go, you got to see his struggle. Like, you got to see all this turmoil and this internal conflict that he's having with himself.
Yeah.
That prolongs it. And then you find out and discover why he was, you know, basically snorting his anxiety medicine.
It wasn't basically, he was, oh my God, he was doing lines of pills and oof. And did he do some coke too? Was there?
Let's just be honest, the way he was acting, that was not just anxiety. Oh, that was definitely the white girl.
You know, the thing is, yes, it was. I think a lot of it was also played up for a dramatic effect, but this is real. We're in a very, you know, we're in a very real opioid crisis today, and anxiety runs, you know, anxiety is running rampant with people, and it, and not everyone gets the treatment they need. And here he is, being a young man in this current situation, and he doesn't know how to handle it without, you know,
right.
I could really, like, his whole beef with Will over Lisa, I'm like, okay, like, we haven't seen this plot a million times, you know, like,
sibling, it was like a sibling rivalry. I had her first, you don't deserve her. And then you got to look at it, Carlton never got his closure with her in a sense. So where he was still holding on to a memory, and she was just like, bro, let it go. You know, we had our moment in the sun. It's over now.
She still wants to be like, she still wants to be a part of your life, just not like that.
Oh no, you killed that. Whatever happened, which I'm sure before long we'll find out what really happened. Cause I feel like Lisa's hiding something too.
You think she's hiding something?
I'm just saying, like, I know she's dealing with the loss of her mom. That plays a big toll on her. So then you fight it. But I'm just feeling like there's something behind Lisa too that doesn't make her the Princess of Bel-Air.
Oh no, everybody in this show has something, right?
Yeah, they're trying to downplay my boy Will for keeping secrets. What secrets is he? I mean, let's not forget, she did hide that her dad was like a law enforcement officer.
Yeah, and that's a trigger for a lot of people, especially in the community, because I was watching something recently where one of the main characters, he's black, he questions one of his friends who is a a white woman who's also a cop, one of the best cops that he knows. But when she gets caught on camera being a little extra rough with a colored, you know, with a person of color, he questions their friendship. Like, how can you not see that you were in the wrong there, you know? And
right,
you know, as someone who has never been through that myself, but knowing people that have and has had the talk, goodness gracious, I don't want to go on another rant, but anyway, and that's either here nor there at this point. So let's talk about Will and Trey.
Ooh, right.
Trey, you know, Trey during the middle of the season, episode 5, he comes to visit and they got all these plans. Everybody's getting all excited. He's showing them around. Will's showing them around this, you know, the place, and he's getting like excited yet overwhelmed, you know, because he wants things to go back to the way they were post the shooting, you know, and he can already tell that Will is not for that. Like, he misses home, but he sees the value in being in Bel Air.
He sees the change, what he called the change, like how he became used to a lifestyle. Like, you know what I'm saying? This life, I see you become a part of this rich and preppy lifestyle. Like, you don't forget that you're from the hood, that you're Bel Air, that you're Philadelphia. Like, I need you to pack your bags. Like, you mind here wearing Bel Air jerseys when you're like the king of Philly on a basketball court. So that tension came immediately, because he's like, bruh, you done changed on me. And you got to look at a dramatic experience, and you had to get up out of that type of situation would change anybody.
Word. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I know if it was me, I wanted to get the heck out of there.
Real quick.
I want to get the heck out of here. So you're telling me somebody like my best friend ended up getting shot. Thankfully, he's okay. But
right.
I got people coming from my head over some, you know, over some foolishness. Granted, you know, Will did antagonize it, but you know, that did not need to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But let's not forget the hidden gem in that. The dude that initially threw that basketball, that upset it dude guy,
yeah,
is still kind of
in still around.
Exactly.
He threw them under the bus. They could have both been killed over a lie. So, and we haven't heard from that guy. We've heard from the big dude, and supposedly not going to hear from him again. Jeffrey knows people. Jeffrey knows some people. Jeffrey is gangsta as heck. Wow.
Right. He's not just some token overseas, you know, butler prep guy.
No.
House manager.
No, but
he's the mob boss, the hitting. Like, he's got so many. He's like the James Bond of the show, I would say.
He really is, but he's also there to keep the family in check, including Phil. You know, like, they boys. Like, yes, he will get you with the "you're also my employee," but they're boys. So if you have a friend that's known you for a long time and they see you acting a fool, you would want them to call you out on it, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. A real friend, yeah.
Like, I'm not expecting my friends, my extended family, anybody that knows me to just agree with everything I say and do. You know what I'm saying? Especially when they see that it's wrong. If they see that it's wrong and they know that I don't, and I don't see it, if they see the red flags and I don't, I want them to point it out.
Yeah, tell me, pull me to the, like, I give you the permission to do that. Like,
yeah,
you get to call my bluff. Like, don't let me be making a fool of myself and then you don't agree and then go.
But so, then you have the, he also signed your paycheck.
Didn't he let that car be? Hey, when he pulled that car, it was like,
yeah, it was like
it was like, you got no win here. remember, I don't care what these kids and these people, my family ask you to do. I'm the one with the money. Like, you report to this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it really kind of hurt my heart when Trey let the cat out of the bag about what actually happened with Will. And that's how Carlton found out.
That was salty. He did the flaw as even as a best friend, like you did the one goat. That's like, bruh, you know, I'm already dealing with a lot. I'm pretty sure Uncle Phil is like their dad. So in this sense, it's like, that wasn't your place to even tell that type of business.
No,
you done wired yourself up, had a few drinks. You already kind of, you could tell by this energy, he was already kind of salty. And based off the conversation that Will had already gave him, so Will kind of gave him the bullets to the gun. And then he just went ahead and was like, you know what? I'm not going to let it be known. Will ain't finna be around y'all too much longer. He already can't stand you. Home. Right. He can't stand you. He thinks your dad got too much power. You know what I'm saying? He's basically laying it on thick. Like, we finna bounce, like, tonight. I guess that was his way of stirring it up. Like, if I stir this pot up, I can get Will home quicker if I just be messy like that. And
he wanted his brother back. He wanted his brother back. He liked the perks that came with, the lifestyle, but he didn't want that to be him. At this point, polar opposites. They grew up together in Philly, but now their situations have both changed, and one cannot see himself moving out the hood while the other one had an opportunity to move, was forcibly moved out, and now he wants to stay because he sees the value, you know?
And it's kind of like a Shaq and Kobe type of relationship, because you remember during their era where Kobe was, the star of the Lake Show at this present time period, and, Shaq was Shaq. Like, he was helping beating the defense. They was back and forth. And just like you said, when Kobe, he was like, Kobe was this ball hog. So you look at Will as this Kobe character, and then he's like, look, I just need you to have my back, and let's just run this thing together. And he was like, oh, now you done turned this into a one-man show. Doing your thing, I'm out.
Yep. And, like, when they had their talk before Trey left, like, he said, we got other options. I can't see myself being in the same place forever anymore, And Trey didn't even look back. He just like, nah, me, man. He can't
right,
see.
Right. I don't want this.
He can't see. You know what that reminded me of, though?
What's that, bro?
Okay. Save the Last Dance. Remember the movie Save the Last Dance?
I remember it. What scene you want to go to?
Okay, so it was right before the male lead, his Fredo Starr from Onyx was about to go do that drive by, and they have that argument. He's like, man, listen, I can't do what you do. I can't go out and go to college and become a doctor operating on people. I'm doing what I know how to do, and he couldn't get out of that. He couldn't get out of that hood mentality.
Some people's fate was already kind of sealed, like, in that moment. It's like, yeah, you're right. It does have, it has that same iconic dynamic.
Yeah, I'll give you a more realistic portrayal. If you hear the term real N-word, right?
Right.
Not going to say it, but most of you already know what I'm talking about. If somebody says you a real, you stand by your
live it, you eat, sleep, and breathe it. I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? It's that code. Is that code that they have, but some just cannot break it. They can't break it no matter what,
Right.
And in Will's case, he saw a bigger opportunity after what had happened, because it is kind of, when you think about it, it is one of those life is unfair situations, because he had family who could do that for him.
Right.
Trey, as far as we know, only had his whatever parental figure he has. And I don't know if it's his mom or dad or whatever, but Will had family. Granted, family he hadn't seen in like a decade, but family that could pull strings.
You sound like Vin Rains in the Fast and Furious.
Well, look at it. Like And we'll get there because we do find out why they hadn't seen each other in more than a decade. But Will had a family that could do that for him with that kind of power. You know what I'm saying? Whereas right. Trey, he was not fortunate enough to have that, and a lot of us do not have that. You know, let's just say this: a lot of us do not have that. You know, so Trey kind of felt left behind anyway, and now he just wanted things to go back to the way they were, and he knows now that it can't be that way. It doesn't mean they can't be friends, but it's just right now it's gonna take some time.
That's all.
You know, and now, you know, moving forward, Will is going through the hurt of realizing that the dynamic between him and Trey has changed, you know?
And it set in on, yeah, it did, because he had a lot of thoughts rushing through his head. He was angry. He's already beefing with Carlton. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to figure out what really was going on in Philly. You know what I'm saying? All these things he's exploring. Like, he's a teenager, 17-year-old kid trying to come to grips of where is his life headed. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to follow his mom's guidelines, everything that she done instilled on him. He just had a lot, which is like us. Like, you dealing with the pressures of society. Like, you trying to respect your peers and do what your peers say do. And then you trying to follow this. And then it was just too much pressure. And then it was just like, you know what? As you've seen after the fallout with Trey, he was ready to pack his bags. Like, you know what? I don't want this life. It's bringing too much to my neck that I just can't fight off.
Yeah. Yeah. While his family are dealing with their own bouts with change, like Hillary, for example, getting ready to move out and finding a place in this influencer house. Now, okay. No offense to anybody who lives that life and go, you know, in influencer houses and stuff like that, but that contract, that, ooh, man, everything that happened from that point on was foul. Okay. Everything that happened from that point on, from Hillary's point of view, was foul. Now, but it also calls out the fast pace, the fast paced life that is. Like, you got to stay on top of trends. You got to stay on top of what's hot. You got to stay on top of, tags. You got to stay on top of whatever is going on, because you need those clicks. So, right. So you got the prankster brothers over there, I see pranks like this all the time. And I'm like, I know I shouldn't blame the Jackass crew, but
they kind of opened that door.
Were the precursor to this. They were the granddaddies of this. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that was an era there, boy. That was definitely an era.
Yo, and big ups to them. Like, they'll ever hear this, but you know what? No, all of them together. I can't see myself. I never saw myself watching Jackass. Not because I thought, you know, that there was better things out there. I couldn't stand watching other people like hurting themselves on purpose. That
was a lot of reasons why staying up late for me. While a lot of people was watching BET Uncut, I was more of an MTV side of the world. Yeah.
Oh man, no. I think you know what? I think certain elements of having a disability kept me from wanting to try that kind of stuff, because I was
like, you know, for sure, you and I both, I don't care how much you got your laughing giggles out of it. That was not something, when you saw that disclaimer with the two crutches making that X at the beginning,
like, listen,
do not try this at home. We wasn't trying that.
No, I will do exactly what you're saying to do. Disclaimer: I'm not going to try this at home.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm gonna just stay doing Power Ranger flips on my grandmother's couch. That's all I'm gonna do, because at least I know what I'm doing.
Exactly. It wasn't that thing. It was risky, but it wasn't that dangerous.
No shopping carts for me, or stapling my nipple, or any of that other stuff, playing with animals that I shouldn't be playing with, all that, you know. No. But But we see how pranks can turn from one thing to another. And now imagine having pranksters as roommates who have to have a camera on them all the time.
24/7.
Now you have upped the ante. You have upped the level of what else can we do? Because now they live with roommates that are also influencers like them. But in order to get a certain amount of money for their rent, they have to get clicks and everything else. So it's like,
I'm not knocking nobody that lives that like that, but I don't think I could do it.
The business side of being an influencer, whatever the heck kind of influencer you are, I think that needs to be explored more. I recently saw a Hulu documentary talking about influencer houses, influencer culture, and how it's affected people of different backgrounds, especially if you're, especially if you're a Black creator, right?
Right.
And then when I saw that scene of Hillary trying to get into that influencer house, and then what happened after, I'm like, oh geez, okay, because you could easily write this off as a trend, but one thing I will never underestimate the fact that this is a business. Once you start making something out of it, once you start seeing a certain amount of numbers and money gets involved and contracts get involved, this is not just you putting yourself out there on the net. This is a straight up business, but it's a fast paced business. How are you going to keep eyes on you? You know?
Even though I know what purpose you was going, I was having a whole revelation in my head. Like, you gave me an epiphany.
You gave me something to work with. Like, as podcasters, here it is. I am nowhere near the level of what those kids were, right? Nowhere near. I consider myself a small time podcaster, not a hobbyist, because I do this for, on a regular basis, but. I am nowhere near influencer level, whatever it constitutes being an influencer, I'm nowhere near that, but I'm okay with it. I still want to make something out of it, but I'm okay if I'm not constantly, being talked about or being seen on certain platforms or whatever, because that's too much pressure. And look what happened to Hillary.
Well, pressure bust pipes.
Look what happened to Hillary. Or if you could say that about any big time podcaster, from freaking Joe Budden to Joe Rogan. Look what's going on with them.
Rise and fall, ain't it?
Yeah. This is crazy, but there is a plus side to this. Like, you got Aunt Viv trying to do her art again and realizing that she does have she has not only the raw talent and skill, but this is what she is meant to do, Imagine, like, and they would go back and forth on, why she stopped. She stopped for Phil's benefit, because Phil wanted to be a big time politician, and now they got all these, they got these cameras and press on them, and he's trying to
get. Yeah, but a little bit of her mom kind of came out too, of what her mom was trying to tell her too. I know she was trying to respect that this can't hit the public eye during his run for DA. And that's gonna mess him up, his rep up. But you gotta look at it too. She started seeing everything that she thought her mom was nagging at her about, kind of came to her life. And then Jazz was like, "You better than this. Like,
yeah,
you
don't need
to get followers this way.
This is not the way you do it. Like, like it could help. Like when that video came out. Now, this is also why you got to be careful about whatever contracts you sign. What did the head of the house, what did he say? My anything like, that's recorded oh, in it. The house,
this house I
belongs
own.
To me.
And you look at it like, bro, you just stole my whole ticket to win. Like, you just took my ticket.
But there has been a long time conversation about creators versus the people they give them their stuff to, you know, like, right. This is why, you know, this is why I'm for staying independent. You know what I'm saying? Because you never know what they're going to do to your baby. Okay. Like, you've been doing who they want for a while, right?
Right.
You created who they want to have for you and your friends to have a place to talk and share opinions and interview people. And now we're starting to get more, you know, now we're starting to get more people coming to us. Right. But imagine if somebody did come to you asking to buy you out on who they want. And now you decide to sign the contract and they do whatever the heck they want with it. So your original vision is gone because you decided to sign on that dotted line because they gave you some greenbacks.
Right. You know,
I
think about that a lot because this is be honest. Once you become a podcast, you forever get emails. You get these social media messages. Everyone's always talking about they can make you this big mega star. And all you have to do is, again, like you said, sign on this dotted line. Yeah. And they make it sound so beautiful. You know, you get this big mass following. You get constant promotions. You get link shares. You get a website. You get all these things. And all you got to do is just basically let us run. You're who they want. And I'm like,
nah. I think as the medium changes and as the time change, contracts have to change. Because with the advent of this has been going on since the dawn of entertainment. So if you create a movie, because remember they used to back in the day, you didn't just make a movie and then move on to the next project. You made movies specifically for that studio.
You did. That was your realm, like.
Yeah.
Same
thing with a record deal. You have a certain amount of records you have to make, certain amount of albums you have to make for that label.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that's done, if you don't decide to renegotiate, you can leave after your conditions have been met. But look at someone like, say, Chamillionaire or Ashanti or Taylor Swift De La Soul. Every one of them, or New Edition. We've gone on the list. I don't know how many times on who they
right
were, of people just getting swindled because they couldn't read their contract, or they didn't have the right people around them, or what have you. You know, look at anybody dealing with Spotify. Look at comic creators now in the MCU. You know, people are wondering, hey, they created this character. How come they're not getting the money when they're getting like these $1 million, almost $1 billion paydays? You know. Oh, well, because we created it, they created it for this person. We'll give this person, say, a $15,000 check on this, but that's it. That's it. It's happened in any form of entertainment you could think of. So I think that this was a
perfect example. Let's not even mention Disney. Like, Walt Disney was that guy that did that too now.
Oh, yeah. No, Disney is not exempt at all. Disney is not exempt from not giving the proper respect to, you know, to people that they work with. We know that they want to be the squeaky clean family friendly company, but we know they've done dirt. That mouse is not
exempt. I think watching that movie Saving Mr. Banks kind of gave me an idea of like, whoa. Then I kind of opened my eyes to a bigger picture and like, bro was kind of like Mr. Daddy Warbucks. Like, he'd sit there with his money and go, I want to buy this character. I think you'll be perfect at my theme park.
Mm-hmm. I want to buy this book. I've been trying for like 5-6 years at the suggestion of my kids, and I want to make them happy, and I know I can make some money. And what did he do? He took the original concept of Mary Poppins and flipped it.
Yeah.
And while we love the character of Mary Poppins, when I found out that that's not the way she was originally portrayed, or the way the characters were originally portrayed, or any of that stuff, it's like, okay, this is, to me, that's nothing different than what they did with, say, Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, Peter Pan, any of that.
Snow White, so forth and so forth.
Most of their catalog.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I went on that whole rant to say.
I know. It goes with the content. Like, either way.
Honestly, I'm surprised I was able to stay on this train. Because I know myself, I go from one thing to another. But whole thing is, even though, you know, we may not be like huge entertainment, influencers or anything like that.
Yet, let the record stay. Yet, I'm working on my catalog.
Yet. But we've been learning a lot. We've been learning a lot about what's been going on in the entertainment industry, because we're exposed to a lot more than what we were. Even when we were kids, no one knew about, we didn't know about like what so-and-so was getting for a record deal. What's
nothing. Because you're a kid, you just look at it and shrug it off. Like, I don't care. Just like listen to the song. Like
that's, you didn't have that. Are they okay? Soul. Like what? But then you realize some of your favorite artists, you look at
suffering.
Yeah, especially if you work for the WWE. Anyway,
I like that. That's another episode. Let's get back to this review.
Yeah. So at this point, Hillary is fed up because she has realized that this is not, you know, this is not where she wanted to be. And now a certain side of herself, the sexy side of herself, is all over the internet. And
she put the Dr. Dre on a Suge Knight type of content move. Well, he was like, you walk out this house, I own everything regardless. And she was like, you know what? Have this.
And you gotta pay, and also you gotta pay me a fee. Which was like $4,000 or $5,000 or more?
Wasn't in a million.
I don't know.
I forgot what amount it was, but it's a substantial amount.
I mean, these kids are dealing with stacks, you know?
Right. And it's crazy because you would look for Hillary's weak point to be, I'm just going to go smooth talk dad into buying my contract out. But she's like, nah, I'm trying to find my own way, make my own name, build my own accreditation. She went and got my boy Jazz and was like, let's just go hit this house while he's not here, while nobody's around. Right. I'm going to steal everything of mine back, and then we're just going to clear it.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting a big blowout. I was expecting a big, like I know that there's a few stories they have to juggle, you know?
Yeah.
But honestly, given how everything went down, I was expecting a big blowout between her and the housemates. I was expecting a whole thing online, you know? But it didn't happen. It was okay. They get her, the rest of her stuff back, and a lot of stuff was said and done off screen. And her parents got involved. You know, her parents got involved. The conversation around her choosing to remain, like after she chose to keep that video online, right? After they had talked it over and they were like, we're giving you this, you know, this much, right? For more chef videos, right?
Right. She kind of saw an opening for the cash flow.
She
didn't see it as a solicitation move. Like, no. You gotta understand the clarity of that moment.
No,
it was like, she's gonna just do that outright to defy her parents and create this sexualized, glorified image. She didn't do it for that route.
No, like, and at this point, she was doing it by choice. So like, because originally she did it by choice, but she wasn't expecting the video to get out, right? Because remember, she was originally going to, I think, change it or delete it. Then the head of the household, he did his thing with it, put it online, it went viral, and now people are
His flaw card. He did do that. He was like, oh, you got everything that's recorded in this house. I already got grabs on it. So he already kind of launched it when she was going to erase it. She did follow her first mind, was like, you know what? This is not an image I want. I'm going to get rid of it. And he was like, look at the numbers. Like, you're a star. Like, he did what an influencer house manager would do.
Yeah.
Like, don't walk away from content, even though it was spicy or it's a little edgy for, you know, certain audiences. It was like, you're killing the numbers. So it's all about numbers for him.
Yeah. But I will say this, I give Hillary credit for at that point wanting to own it, because we are always talking about, like, say someone does a sexy video and then people question it. Are they doing it for themselves? Are they doing it for clicks? Are they doing it because they got issues with their parents? Oh, how about, nah, they like who they are. They want the and they have no problem showing it.
That's all, bro. That's,
you know, all it is. You know, it's she turned a negative into a positive until she realized that no, if I'm gonna do it, it's gonna be on my terms, not his.
Right. She did step a game up. It was like, nah, player, he wasn't doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, but yo, okay, so Lisa and the relationship with Will, even though it did seem kind of quick, part of me was like, okay, these are 10 episodes, 45 minutes each. There's a lot they got to go through for season one, including getting Will and Lisa together, like officially.
Right. Because he wasn't giving up on her.
That
was a me. Young Romeo pulled the meat up. That me, boy. My determination be just like Will. He ain't just gonna walk past me like that.
But he was willing to back off a little bit for Carlton's sake, because he did know that, you know, that Carlton was having like issues mentally involving her, because he obviously was not over her, and he was trying to play the long games, like, hey, you know, maybe one day we'll get back together. I'm just trying to work whatever magic I got. And then Will comes in and puts a monkey wrench in everything. But
it did kind of care a little more attention. But then over time, it was like, I got no win here. Like, she's definitely feeling my cousin. And I just want my cousin to see that. Look, I ain't let go. She's still my ex. La, la, la. You know, tread softly. This is my territory. He's territorial. Like, he was defending what was his. And it was like, you just came and snatched the rug from under me.
Yeah.
But now they cool now. Like, I like it now. I like the vibe now. He's like, I was tripping it early. He kind of acknowledges, like, I was a jerk earlier, but now that I see it, she ain't really into me. She's more happier with you. Go ahead, do your thing, cuz.
Yeah. And like, they went when Will's mom, when Vi came in, it came for Will's birthday and and everything after that whole thing with the party went down. Cause that's when I feel like that was really solidifying their role, like Will and Carlton's brotherhood. Like their friendship was really starting to get, if it wasn't already there, really starting to get there when they had that party, because now Carlton is trying to figure out who his real friends are. And
oh yeah, that vibe was lit. I remember that
episode. And Will is like so charismatic. Like, he can get anybody to come to the party. Like, yo, this party's gonna be lit. This party's gonna be this. This party's gonna be that. Oh man, I got the whole cheerleading squad. Yeah, basketball star. Of course you got the whole cheerleading squad. It's coming to the place, but also he invited everybody. He didn't exclude anyone. He wanted Carlton to feel welcome. It does say a lot when Will knows more people than you do, and Will has only been in the school a few months.
And he was like, "Cuz, if you look at it, he told him to, like, 'Cuz, he's trying too hard.'" Just be you. Just be the cornball you that only you could be. And stop trying to be this overly rich kid that's killing everybody vibe.
Yeah, like stop trying to impress people. Like, and I know that's hard when being a teenager, because what's one thing? We want to be accepted, you know?
That's all.
That's it. Even when you get older, in some cases, you really just want to be accepted by who you consider to be your peers. And in Carlton's case, he really didn't have too many people like him. So
yeah, he did.
So it, yeah, of course, it was hard for him to really grasp that he's really not the man he thought he was at the school. You know, like he does have some clout. But really, all you basically have is your racist friends and, well, one in particular. And, oh, my God.
That kid. He blowed the whistle on that, yeah.
Man, that kid was just on something different. Like, he is the definition of your rich, spoiled white kid. He really did not. Oh, my God. Everything from trying to get Will, trying to get
expelled.
He
was doing it so spiteful. Even Carlton was like, bro, chill out.
Like, man, listen, I know that you don't, I know what he did with you to you was not great, but you gotta let it go. You gotta let it breathe, right? And you got one guy who was not happy about Will, and then when he gets called, then his boy gets called out for his crap, and now it's like, oh really, you're gonna do that to me on my turf? Oh, here's what I'm gonna do to you. I'm gonna put cocaine in your freaking in your backpack and get you arrested. And oh
right, that's a little stunt. I liked that though, because then you don't really see such a villainous Carlton again. It was like,
no, at that point that's when the edges started to started to be chipped away.
It did. Know? It was like, look, I'm gonna help if Will, because if you look at it, Will didn't at any moment, because Will discovered Carlton's little anxiety binge at first. Mm-hmm. And he kept that secret. It could have been easy to sit down with, look, go check Carlton's room, go in his little closet, da da da. I can show you where he has this paraphernalia and stuff like that. It was just like, nah, bro, I'm a solid dude. Like, even though I'm Philly, like he shows his Philly heart. The whole 10 episodes, like I'm solid, I'm 10 toes solid, bro.
Yeah, man. It oh wow, it would have been a great that's a great that was a great episode, and a great few moments of Carlton realizing that he's not my enemy. Okay.
Yeah.
He's not my enemy. He is here to help me. Yes, we're really different in a lot of ways, but we're family. And when it comes to that, when he saw that Will was just there, Will could have been the fish out of water in this story. You know what I'm saying?
He could have, correct.
But because he's got his personality, that personality, he was able to bring more people in, whereas Carlton was just trying to be one of those people, you know? Right. So when they finally decide to piece it and everything, and when the cops were called, Carlton almost went upstairs to see Will and Lisa in that entanglement. You know what I'm saying?
I like how you threw that out there.
when you were almost about to see your ex with somebody in your family, I can't even imagine what that's like.
I think it would have rekindled that hatred all over again. I think they kind of spared it for just that moment. Cause I saw it, like you saw Carlton unravel. He was vulnerable. He hadn't stood up to his friends. Well, his ex-friends was like, look, I'm done with this life. Y'all can have this. I don't need y'all. All y'all fake to me. And then he was looking for Will to like finally let Will know, like, cuz I took your advice. I stood up for myself. I'm ready to follow your lead. And then the police show up And it, instead of rushing upstairs to go look for Will, was like, let me deal with the door because I live here. La la la. This,
he was about to get her. Oh, it was about to turn into one of those scenes.
But then you see Will and Lisa come down the stairs together in a front, and it goes, oh, so that's where you've been when I've been looking for you.
You left me. You left me alone
for her. Yeah, you saw that tension. You saw a little tension spark back up, but not so much as a "I hate you again" cuz.
I seriously thought it was gonna be like one of those things where they regress the plot, you know, because it could have easily gone south. The only reason why they didn't get arrested is because Lisa was like, my dad, like her, you know, like. Really, you're the cop's kid? Like, oh, but then I couldn't help but think to myself, how does no one know who the Bankses are by now? And even if you didn't, how in the world are you going to just assume that the kid doesn't live there? But then I'm like, you know what? This is America. How many freaking stories are there of people getting locked out of their own house? Mm. Or getting a security called on them, or cops called on them, you know,
right?
Because people don't think they live there. Oh, you got? I demand to show. I'm surprised that Karen didn't show up. The cops showed up. I'm surprised. Like you really want to make this a realistic scene? Have a freaking Karen show up,
bruh. That would have sold the episode at the highest rates now. Like, I told you, officer, look.
look, I told you. What is he doing here? Doesn't he go to school with your kid? I don't know that kid. Who is he? What is he doing in this neighborhood? If it was, right. I mean, they pretty much had it sold with a cop, but you want to add little insult to injury? Have a random Karen that don't know what they're talking about to show up. Male or female, I don't care. Karen, Ken, I don't care. You know,
that's all it would have took.
Nosy neighbor. Just have the nosy neighbor come in with their opinion, and that would have sold that. But at this point now they're official. Yes. Now her and Will like have this, like it was kind of weird because he didn't know that her dad was that cop, but it was like, man, look. It's understandable, but don't hold that against her. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Right.
But what would you like? I know they're teenage, but what would you do in that situation?
From which perspective?
Like, okay. So say, all right. Say you were Will and you've had your issues with
running,
you know, with cops in the past, you know?
I would have went ballistic. That would have been that one time you would have saw me lose my cool. Like kind of how, if you would reference Boys in the Hood, that moment where Trey was just tired of being jacked up by the cops at every waking moment. You know what I'm saying? You dealing with that, because this is, again, still in L.A. So it would have been like, oh, look, it's bad enough in Philly. I done caught this little issue. I done been pressed by the cops. They didn't treat me like a human being. Like, you're going to forever get noticed. Like, they didn't treat me like this human being. I would have to go off the deep end.
Honestly, I don't know what I would do, because I know myself. I'd probably get too scared in the situation, period. Because I'd be like, wait, who the heck called the cops? You know? Like, what's
going on? I could see us. If we was that house, I can honestly say you'd definitely be that, like, investigator, like, which one of y'all, really, bro?
Which
really?
One of y'all called the cops? Was the music too loud? Was it?
You got to get justified in it. Like, you
but it wasn't even that. Reason. It was what's his name that called the cops because he got thrown out.
Carson's ex-friend, right?
Yeah, I mean, because other than that, the whole thing was copacetic. Like there was no loud music. Nothing got broke. Nothing was broken. There was no fighting. Nothing.
There wasn't even like alcohol and drugs. Like,
no, even though these kids do some alcohol and drugs, you know?
That's to let you know how much pull that the Bakes house had.
Come on. No, ain't nobody.
It was like, we're going to have a get together, but we just going to lounge around, eat some snacks, and just chill.
Oh yeah, and we got beer. We got, you know, we got some people out here snorting lines of freaking painkiller medication, but and anxiety medication, but yeah. It's just, I'm like, what the heck, man? It reminded me of like college party movies for a little bit, but
yeah.
But it didn't get that far until the cop, and then when the cops were called, we get that tense scene of Carlton almost finding Will and Lisa, and then by the next episode, Carlton gets the punishment, but because Will is about to Will's birthday is, you know, coming up and his mom's coming, they're like, okay, we're gonna hold off on your punishment. I'm like, that's different.
Right, like, we're gonna spare you this one time, but we're gonna spare you this one time
because it's your birthday. I would have been like, hold on a second, because they gave him permission to have that party. It's not like he threw it on it, you know, like he threw it True. Without them knowing, you know. True. And Hillary, being the older sibling, she was the chaperone initially, so everybody was doing what they had to do. But I'm like, hold on a second, I would have been like, you already had a birthday party. We're just gonna do this low key. Your mom's coming. We're just gonna chill, right?
That's out. Right.
You know, but then we finally find out what the tension is between the two sisters.
Yes, we did.
And it dealt with their issues with their mother, like, and issues with each, you know, issues with each other. Now it has been proven that siblings of the same genders tend to fight more often.
Yeah.
Right. I have brothers and sisters, but for a while it was me and my sister. Right.
Right.
So I, you know, and we fought, but not like, you know, but not constantly like that. I can't see myself fighting to the point where I barely speak to any of my siblings, you know? So when I do know, but I have known people that do that, and then when I find out the reason, it makes sense. It's not a, oh, they, you know, they owe me money, or, oh, that we got into a bad fight over something, and now, you know, and now we haven't spoken to each other in like 2-3 years. No, it was a bunch of stuff for these two. All like, there was resentment there. Like, you were the artist. I was the one that had to take care of mom. I was your mom always, you know, wanted you to do your art thing, and me, I had to grow up and all that. And then they mention the dad.
Duh, duh, dum.
When they mention Will's dad, it's like, okay, there's no way you can close Pandora's box now, because he knows there's something wrong. He's always had resentment towards his father for leaving. And now you've mentioned that he is the part, like, partly the reason why y'all don't get along.
Right.
There was no way.
But then you find out. Okay, wait, I'll save it for the next episode. We're about to get into it.
Yeah,
they kept this secret. Like, he was just this really out of control guy. But then you realize he really went out of control.
I feel like they could have used that build up for something else, because
it was I think that's the moment it kind of disappointed you, because, like,
yeah, like that big old, like that huge reveal, like all that build up and everything. I'm like, hold up, what was the guy into? Did he kill somebody? Did he, you know, did he witness something he wasn't supposed to? Was he involved in some stuff he wasn't supposed to be involved in?
I mean, you know, he got a bunch of string of robbery charges, and then Phil was his legal representation at the time. And I guess what, y'all mad because Phil didn't get him out of that scuffle at the time?
Phil being the lawyer, that I didn't see.
True.
I definitely did not see Uncle Phil being the reason that Will's dad, Lou, got out of the scrape that he was in. But
if you put two and two, if you put the similarities together, now you see why he did what he did for Will, to get Will out of Philly. Like, he did that as his way of atonement for what he did for Will's dad.
So, yeah, like, I see
it now. It just came to me, like, he did it to be like, look, I couldn't save your dad. I tried, I fought, I couldn't make this. But now I got a little more pull. I can get your son out of this to keep him from going down that path.
Yeah.
That, you know, Lou had went. Shout out to Marlon Wayans for playing Lou.
When they revealed it was Marlon Wayans, it was very surprising to me. You know? It was very surprising to me. And I know occasionally we do have some comparisons to the original. Which do you think was more heartfelt? Like, which one made you feel that moment when Will is venting to Uncle Phil after his dad leaves him high and dry for the second time in his life? Or when this new Will has it out with his dad that almost turns into a physical fight?
I'm gonna give it to the 90s sitcom version, just because Will Smith himself channeled real emotion that moment. Like, don't get me wrong, now in the Bel Air version it was intense too.
That was intense.
But that Will sold me on the cry and the really just hashing it out with Uncle Phil. Like, bruh, he didn't want me then. Like, I'm gonna have these kids. I'm gonna do this. Like, I'm gonna do everything 10 times better than he ever did to me. Yep. And then you see the Bel Air version was like, now you got a physical form here to lash out at, but you don't really get that raw, Philly, untouched emotion. You just got like a, I just wanted to meet you to, like, I built this up to try to, it's kind of like if he was an absentee dad and he was looking for, what would you finally say if you met him? And then it was like that type of hash out. It was like, it was tough. But then it was
tough. I remember, I think it was an interview, Will Smith said that during that's like right before that scene, they would rehearse that scene. He would rehearse that scene with James Avery, and James Avery was like, listen, okay, you got to pull that out. You got to think. He gave him the the actor's veteran speech. Like you really have to pull that raw emotion out. This guy, you know, this guy left you, you know, this, that, and the third. And when that scene was done and you see him pull Will in for a hug as they're crying, I think somebody, you know, somebody let me know if I'm wrong here, because I heard it somewhere. James Avery said, now that's acting. He told them, it's like, now that is acting.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that stint. He did. Quote. He gave him his round of applause. He gave him his flowers then.
He gave him his flowers for that scene, because it was a very traumatic scene. There's no music. There's no, like nobody else is in the room with you. It's just Will hashing everything out about his father that he was feeling at that moment, because their buildup was his dad came back into his life and he had a few good days with him. And then he promised them that they'd go on this trip and then just leaves them. Once he gets another job, trucking gig, he just leaves him. Has it out with Phil, says, Phil, you a better man than me. And you're like, tries to make an excuse for not being there for his son. He was like, when he was born, I was scared, yada, 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 right?
But then if you pay attention, though, technically it kind of opens that portal for seeing the Bel Air version of Lou. Now you see, that truck driving gig, he probably, think about it now, because he left Will, because Will was going to supposedly be in a way of him. Maybe he was a career thief, like,
oh yeah, this guy was not only neglectful, but he was very like 90s Lou was neglectful and selfish and, you know, and all of that, but he didn't have a record on top of that. This new Lou, he had a record. He was ruthless. He was that type of brother.
But then, right? And then he exposed the generational curse theme.
Yes.
look at what my dad, this is what I had to, an example of.
My dad did this to me. I did this to you. Your family came in after they got some money and they tried this and they tried that, But the straw that broke the camel's back was when he said something about Vi. When he talked about Will's mom, it's like, don't you dare, you know, don't you get my mom's name out your mouth. Don't you dare. It was intense. It was intense. Cause honestly, I like, they hadn't seen each other since Will was 4 years old. They didn't get a chance to, that was the only minute they had to talk, and it was all tense and everything. At least in the 90s, they gave him a few days to start, you know, to start trying to forgive his dad, you know, but there was no forgiveness here. But then what happens after that? The whole family has Will's back. Everybody's got Will's back. It was beautiful. And then Will runs away. But let's not forget, and we're going everywhere here. But I think after this, I think we're pretty much done. When Phil decides to leave the race after they were about to expose, when they were about to, their strategy, like Will's team strategy, was to expose something about what was it, Lisa's dad or something like that, and they decided not to do it after everything that had gone down with Will and everything. I might be mixing up some details, but it's like, wait a minute, no. Oh wait, no, because they found out. No, Lisa's dad found out about what happened with Will.
Right. Because it was after, you know, basically Aunt Viv had told Phil, like, you got to stand for your people. Like, if you're going to get these people to win in the post, then you got to be real. And when he was talking about defunding the police, kind of relevant to the whole Black Lives Matter and all these police killings, he was standing his ground on that. And then, you know, when it was going to the concert, when Will's friend Trey was in town, he pulled him to the side like, bro, that was kind of cold what you did, and we've been friends, da la la. And he was like, huh, you think I'm going to change my stance over this? So it was kind of like evil for evil, but then Phil just came to his mind like, we can play the dirty. If you look at it, it was more of his team trying to get Phil to play the dirty card.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil was just like, we'll see how it goes. I can handle my speech. I can handle my own. He's a man of his own. Like, he's going to stand his own ground. And then once they got wind of, like, this is what Lisa's dad's going to go do. He's going to crush you. We're bringing up my past and the stuff that you did, basically saying you're a crooked politician type move. And Phil was like, oh, he was just kind of stunned to even see him and Carlton both together in this sequence. Like, oh, y'all finally doing something as a family for a change to protect me. And then, spoiler alert, he steps on that stage and goes, man, I resign. I'm done.
Right, I resign.
Good luck to you,
done.
Fred. You got this, Fred, but I'm out.
He had to do what he had to do. Otherwise, it was going to, like, they were going to expose some things that they weren't ready to get, you know, they weren't ready to get out. And plus, to be honest, he was basically following following what his team said anyway. Because Jeffrey was like, listen, okay, Will needs to know about his dad. Will needs to, and then they mentioned Jeffrey's son. And it's like, okay, so is this where we're gonna open up on season two? Because, you know, because that's when Jeffrey decided to, you know, that's when Phil decided to fire Jeffrey right before all that stuff happened. So now you're realizing how much Jeffrey actually does for the house, because they don't know how to function without him.
He's right.
They don't know.
You know, it's bad when the family, when Carlton, Ashley was like, so how come Jeffrey's not returning my calls, Dad? something you want to tell us, just go ahead and say
it. Where's the food? Where's the food? Where's this? Where's that? You forget that Jeffrey still is the house manager, right?
Right. That house definitely needs to be rebadded. Exactly. He's like the Blackberry Poppins of the show.
Exactly. Remember in the 90s show when Jeffrey had left after that fake lottery ticket prank?
Will and was wrong for that. Man had to quit, had to plan his life. He was done with being a house manager. And then it was like, oh, Jeffrey was a joke. And he was like ready to end his life. Like, you know what? I got nothing else.
I got nothing else. Now he's working at a restaurant. Will and Carlton have to finagle a way to get him out of there, and it just becomes a whole scene.
That was another iconic scene in the 90s sitcom version. I love it.
Is it our fault you never married mom? She had one.
She got a clap like this. Priceless.
Yo, man. Now I have a few questions about what this is going to mean leading up to season two.
Drop them, bro.
Let's, you know what I'm saying? Number one, are we going to see, well, we have to see Jeffrey's kid. We have to see Jeffrey's kid. What is the story there? Because in the original, Jeffrey didn't know he had a kid. Kid comes to find him and thinks that he was just a deadbeat dad that turned out to be, you know, it like ended up, you know, working for some rich people. And now he's figuring like, you're going to pay me what you owe me. Right. He was very upset because of years of missing out with his dad. And now his dad is not, you know, is outside the country, all that stuff. Here we know that Jeffrey knows that he has a child and something went down. So I'm just going to take a wild guess and say, because, you know, Jeffrey got some, he probably done some time. He had probably gone through some things himself. I'm thinking that maybe he might've just bounced.
What if the dude that was on the thug that Will was supposed to challenge in the basketball?
Yeah.
What if that's Jeffrey's son? Think about it. What if the reason why the guy who was looking for Will ended up dead in that strip club is because Jeffrey made a call to his son and got him knocked off? What if?
That's a good one. Jeffrey did know the guy that was after Will.
Mm-hmm.
Like they knew that dude was government. Like.
That's what I'm saying. Like, think about that pool. Jeffrey had connects. Everything that went on in Philadelphia, Jeffrey had connects. That's how, even though Will's mom talked to Phil, but we all know Jeffrey talks to Phil. Like.
Right. Right. But also, remember, Phil met that, you know, that side of the family when they were young. They could have just had, you know, they could have just had, he knew Lou, he was Lou's lawyer, all that, you know, all that stuff. He probably already knew some people, and that's probably how they met. We don't know how he met Jeffrey.
So maybe that'll be the whole coming back for him in season two.
Yeah,
maybe. I would say.
Maybe.
I'm thinking, that's my what if theory on it, ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe. Oh, I got another one. What does this mean for Hillary? Because Hillary now is about to go into another business venture with her homegirl, and they're about to start their own project. So how is this going to affect her career going forward?
It's gonna be a lot of pros and cons. It's great because she's gonna follow Jazz's advice, but because Jazz said a good point. Stop looking at her as somebody you're just trying to use to pick their brain and steal ideas from and just be a business partner and y'all run this realm together. So I think what's going to kill it, I think Jazz going to be sleeping with her, and Hillary, already being that she done slept with Jazz and got feelings for Jazz, it's going to bring that cat fight that's going to be like, you know what? This is why we stopped being friends a long time ago. Like, it's gonna be a lot of hashing. There's gonna be some tense,
like a love triangle between Jazz and the two.
Yeah. Yeah, because you got to think about it. Jazz was already starting to flirt with her when it was at that little cocktail party or whatever. Jazz did kind of open that door up as looking at it, and Hillary was already looking like, don't be watching him.
I mean, they ain't together, but they ain't together. Those two weren't together. They were hooking up. Yeah, there was
but
there was
you can
obvious
tell she
chemistry.
Got feelings. She got feelings for this Jazz.
There's obvious chemistry, sure. You know? I mean, it's Coco Jones. I mean, can you blame him? But... I ain't gonna lie. But I could see a love triangle thing, but I could also see Jazz being a neutral party only because outside of Ashley, he's the only person in this show that hasn't done any dirt. he's been the 100% neutral party throughout this whole, you know, throughout this whole ordeal. He told Hillary how he felt about the influencer house and everything else like that, but he let her do her thing. You know, he got a little upset. He got mad, obviously, but that was resolved like an episode or so later. And now they cool again. But you know what? Maybe it is time for him to get into some drama, because this is the type of show this is. Nobody's exempt from the drama, you know?
Right.
So it could be that could be next for him. But I like Jazz. I like both versions of Jazz, but I really like this one because this one is, you know, this one is very, you know, he's very friendly. He's very selfless, you know, and
right.
He's there for his people. But honestly, we definitely got to see Lou again, because now that he's been introduced and now that they had that big old blowout, it's going to be on people's minds, you know. Can't keep him away.
No, you can't, bro.
Nope. But that's pretty much all, you know, but that's pretty much all I got besides like what's going to be next for Ashley. But Ashley's the preteen in this whole thing. So they're just going to, they're taking things easy with her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just let her grow. Let her grow.
Yeah, let her be a kid. You know, like let her deal with that was her first heartbreak. And plus she came out to her sister, which I think was a cool moment. Her mom already knows, but her mom does not think that Aunt Viv does not think that her kids want to talk to her about anything. So
she's working on, yeah, trying to build that bridge. She sees that now. She's got some kind of in that lifestyle. So it's like, I don't even have a connection with neither one.
I don't even have a connection with my kids. How can I think about going on a freaking tour and lectures and more art gigs and when my kids don't even talk to me?
Right. So we'll see her. We'll see what. I just can't wait for season two. That's all I'm gonna say about it. Yeah. I'm excited.
Me too. Definitely looking forward to season two. But let us know, y'all. Listen, anybody out there who's also a fan of this version of the show, you know, let us know what you think. Are you looking forward to season two? What do you think is next for the, you know, for the rest of these characters? Will Will's relationship with Carlton, now that Carlton has gotten clean, will that continue to improve, or will they regress? Because you never know, you know, they could run out of ideas and be like, okay, let's do this again, you know.
And will Goku ever make it off Snake Way?
Oh man, yeah, I'm leaving that in. But in the meantime. In the meantime, yo, man, Steady, thank you again for joining me on another episode of On the Brain.
It's always a pleasure, family. That's what we do, bro.
Yep. And now we got to get ready for another interview tonight. So,
Exactly.
We're podcasters. We love this stuff, but now we've become even busier than before. So,
right.
but once again, let people know where they can find you and the rest of who they want.
Absolutely. Like I said before, you can follow the YouTube channel. That's Who They Want Podcast on YouTube. Check us out again on anchor.fm/Who They Want Podcast, which is also distributed on Apple Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and any other places that mainframe a great podcast. And again, Facebook is who they want, LLC, Cross, you know, Everything Entertainment Expo, and of course, The Block is DJ Stan.
Awesome. All right. So if you're a fan of this type of content, check us out on the Brain ENT. And here is the flagship show. We got another episode of Otaku Labs coming up for my fellow otaku, my fellow weebs, my fellow anime heads. We're coming, you know, we're coming up with brand new content more consistently. And in the meantime, hope everyone out there has a good day. Stay safe. And we will catch you in the next episode of On the Brain. Peace, love, and never be normal.